Welcome to the Real Estate Syndication Show. Whether you are a seasoned investor or building a new real estate business, this is the show for you. Whitney Sewell talks to top experts in the business. Our goal is to help you master real estate syndication. And now your host, Whitney Sewell.
This is your daily real estate syndication show. I am your host, Whitney Sewell. Today, I want to continue this few-part show that I started on show, I think it was 800, and then I followed up on show 850 and 857, going through our hiring process that we recently completed. I hope it's been just eye-opening to you and has helped you think through your hiring process, or if you haven't hired anyone or an assistant in this matter, in this case, I hope you have considered it and you've taken it very seriously also in that process. And we're going to go even more in depth into that today. And this will make a lot more sense if you go back and listen to those other shows, even in order, so you understand more about what I'm talking about once I get into some of the show that I'll be going over today. And I wanted to highlight show 8 here in front of me, 800. The title was Massive Business Growth with A Team. And so ultimately that means, you know, like the A Team, you know, having a class A team members that are some of the best at what they do, and how, you know, I found someone recently like that, and we found numerous team members like that now. But I'm just talking about my most recent hire when talking about these things. But then I went to show 850 and specifically talked about the job description amongst numerous other things. But then 857 was even a questionnaire that we used for hiring. And I encourage you to at least go through those shows and really think through this questionnaire and how you're narrowing down, you know, the pool of applicants very quickly, because your time is valuable. And also because your time is so valuable, it's so important that you do this right and that you take the time it takes to ensure that you are hiring the correct individual for your team and that they have the proper talent or skill sets that you're looking for and that complement your team. So I encourage you to go back and listen to those. And then today I wanted to get into more about our interview, and I want to back up just a little bit. And this will probably be I don't know that I can get through all of what I would like to share with you about an interview or about how everything I've learned recently about interviewing and different steps that we've taken. But I want to go through numerous more things today through the book called Top Grading. If you don't know about that book, I would encourage you to have that in your arsenal, you're on your bookshelf, and maybe it's something you go through before you go through the hiring process once, and then you'll have it just as a reference for later on. And I still have stuff tabbed in. If you're watching YouTube, you can see I've got tabs and pieces of paper in here and things underlined and whatnot. But I'm going to go through part of that book. I wanted to give, you know, Bradford Smart, you know, some credit there because it is his book. And I'm going to read numerous things out of that. But then I'm also just going to share with you some things that we did, how it worked for us, how it worked for our team recently. Also, I wanted to give credit to another individual named Mike Lawrence. He's a good friend of mine, and he's a professional speaker, actually, but he's getting into the syndication business and doing an amazing job. But I've gotten to know him recently, and he has used Top Grading for a long time and is very good at it. So he helped me, or when I was first thinking about hiring, you know, he's the one that first turned me towards Top Grading. So I want to give him some credit as well, say thank you. And so first I wanted to jump in and talk about just the interview process. And again, I'm going to read some stuff to you that I think is very beneficial. But in going through, I'm not going to read every, I mean, this book goes into such detail, and so it may not be completely in order what I'm going to read to you, but I want you to hear it, and then we'll talk about it a little more in depth and how I used it personally. But I want you to think about, you know, after you've gotten this far, your candidates, you know, or whoever's up to this point have completed that questionnaire that I talked about last time, right? And so you have all of this information. So now you have a resume, you should have a cover letter, you know, it should be in certain formats because you've asked them to do that, right? You know, and however you did that. And then they've also filled out that detailed questionnaire about much of their background. And I actually want to jump way ahead because this is something that I feel like is so important and for you to think about as you're just going through this process. But one thing I underlined in this book that's way ahead of where I'm going to go back to in a minute, but it says, by tracing how a person developed over an entire life and career, the patterns that emerge give 1,000 times the insight into the recent past than if you only ask about the recent past. So I want you to think about that. And it makes so much sense to me because you are tracing back and through how this person developed over an entire life or career. And just the patterns, these patterns that you'll start to see, it's really incredible. But just think about it, you know, because we're going to talk about this interview process. And we're going to go into some very depth or details about the questions you should be asking and help you to think outside the box a little bit, because it's such an important part of finding the right person. But it gives you 1,000 times the insight into a recent past than if you only ask about the recent past. And so, you know, you're going back sometimes into high school, but at least college, depending on maybe the work history and age of this individual that you're hiring. You know, if high school was 30 years ago, it's probably not worth bringing that stuff up. However, you know, if they're 23 and this is their first position, or maybe their second, or they just graduated college, maybe they're, you know, this is their first or second career, you know, or job, and they are, you know, in their mid-20s, it's probably going to be worth maybe asking a few things about high school as well, so you can get a better understanding of this individual and just some of their habits, because some of the habits they had in high school are still going to be there right now, right, if they're in their mid-20s. So think about that. And so, you know, when going into this interview, you know, this book helped me to think through using the tandem interviewing process. And that ultimately just means you and another individual. So you're not doing it solo. You're not doing this interview by yourself. And by doing that, it does lots of things. And we're going to go into some of those, but it's going to give you more confidence, you know, as the interviewer, just to have that other person there with you. And you both have looked over the resume, the cover letter, the questionnaire. You both have, I hope so anyway, you needed to, before you get to the interview, before you are seeing that person face-to-face, most likely now this is going to be on Zoom. You know, I would have those documents open. And what I did when we were conducting interviews, I printed almost all that information out, you know, circled things, made notes. And so that way, you know, even after I go through my interview and the typical questions that I would ask, you know, I still had those things there. So, you know, while my business partner and I were doing the interview, so while maybe he was asking a few final questions, I could look through these documents that I laid out on my desk about this individual, you know, their resume or the questionnaire, and see my notes. And that was very important. That helped me to ask better follow-up questions or to think through once again, you know, was there anything that was conflicting information from what they shared through the interview versus what they have on the documents that they already provided? So helps me to think through those things. But that tandem interview is extremely important and it is extremely powerful. But ultimately, we want to insist on getting answers. And doing things solo, a lot of times we're going to rush through things more. There's going to be awkward silence, you know, and it's going to make us and the interviewee uncomfortable. And we're going to go through some tips on how to alleviate some of that. But I just want you to think through creating this, you know, a tandem interview versus a solo. And so this interview, we want to go in chronological order. And I briefly mentioned that, but, you know, thinking about school years and then just progressing through many things that, you know, that they already gave you in that questionnaire, right? But we're going to go through every job, you know, with the first job and moving forward to the present. And then we're going to ask about plans, goals, and even self-appraisals, you know, where they're going to self-appraise themselves. And we're going to talk about even, you know, where we ask them to rate how their supervisor would appraise them as well. And it's just going to bring out so many things that you would not normally even think to ask that individual. So, but we're going to dive into every success, failure, important decision, important relationship, and even boss relationships, you know, in those ratings like I talked about. So, you know, two heads are definitely better than one, but you want to think about who this other person is. And you want them obviously to be a sharp individual. And so let's think too, if you are, say, a one-person show at the moment, one-person business, and you're thinking, well, Whitney, I don't have anybody else on my team. I don't have that business partner that I can trust to, you know, to ask these other questions or to come into my interview like that. I would say reach out to somebody, to a friend that's also in business or another entrepreneur. It'd be great if they had experience conducting interviews. However, depending on the type of interviews they conducted, it may not be useful. Honestly, it would be nice if they had good people skills, those things. But you want to think about who you're trying to hire And most likely you're hiring someone, I hope so, that has skill sets that you do not have. You know, hopefully you're hiring somebody that's a lot better at some specific things than you are, or else you may not be hiring them yet, but you should be anyway. But anyway, this tandem person, hopefully they have some skills that even you're looking for. Maybe they're experienced in marketing, or they're a very experienced executive assistant, or they've had numerous executive assistants, if that's what you're hiring for. So they have some skills there. They have some understanding, and they've been through this process, and they've worked with different people with these skill sets you're looking for in this individual that you are interviewing. So just think through who that person is. Hopefully they have, even if they're not on your team, hopefully they're obviously somebody you trust greatly, but they hopefully have skill sets that you do not, you know, complementary skill sets of yours. So, but just having them there is going to make you so much more comfortable. And, you know, the two of you are going to conduct, like I said, a tandem interview. You're going to take tons of notes, and we're going to go through some of that. But one big thing I want to stress is that through any interview, and you would think this would be an obvious thing, but it's not, because you get a little nervous, right? You get nervous and you just start reading off your questions, and you start speeding up, but you forget to carefully listen to the responses of the questions. So it happens all the time, and you get nervous, or maybe, you know, especially if it's a solo interview, right? You get nervous and you forget to listen. It's so important. Listen to what they're saying. And then we're going to take notes, and you and your, and I'll talk about it again, but you know, you and your, the tandem interviewer, your partner in this interview, is you're both going to be taking some notes, and there's different thoughts about how to take notes and who should be taking notes, those things. What we found is that my business partner and I both took notes during the interviews, and we both asked questions. There's different ways, you know, that people have done it successfully, and maybe one person is taking the majority of the notes. And you discuss this obviously ahead of time. One person may take all the notes, and while maybe you, as the main interviewer, especially if you're bringing someone in, you know, and it's your business that's hiring, you know, you may ask all the questions, and then that person may follow up with a few questions. That's fine. But you may ask the majority of the questions while they take the majority of the notes. Oftentimes that happens. And it's nice too. Here's one tip. If you can use a shared document, like I said, I know most of you are probably going to be doing this over Zoom. If you can't, you know, at the moment, you probably can't do these in person, especially if you're hiring a virtual assistant that will be maybe even states away or even in another country. So, you know, it's going to be hard to do that in person. So you're going to have maybe your document, your interview document, and your notes on your computer. And so it's nice if, you know, the other person can take notes, and you can even see them if you are not taking notes. Okay. But what worked for us though, is that we both took notes. We could not see each other's notes during the interview. But what's helpful is then later when we follow up, we can go back through that document and talk about what each other noticed, right? Some people think that you should always maintain eye contact with that individual. Obviously, that's a little more difficult through Zoom, you know, over the computer, but you still can do it. You know, they can tell if you're taking notes. They can tell if you're writing things down. Some people say that's a bad thing to do because then it makes that person feel like they've said something wrong. I would say, you know, there's certain ways to do that. You know, you want to write things down even when they say good things as well, so that, you know, so there's some finesse there about it, right? You know, you're not only writing down what seemed like bad or negative things, you know, about their history or however they answered something. So think through that a little bit and the note taking, but it's just so important that you are taking good notes. So, and yeah, again, later you and your partner in this interview will go back through these. Such an important time to do that. Okay, so there's different trains of thoughts there. You have to figure out what works for you. For us, we both took notes. We both went through the interview process, asking different questions. You know, I was taking notes, and he might ask a question, and then we would switch. Sometimes people will do it half and half. One person may do the first part of the interview or the opening. The other person does another section or whatnot, and you can think through that. So try to make sure that when you ask questions, that you stay extremely open-minded. Don't bias the response, right? And so leave it so open-ended that they have to think about their question and give more details, right? You're going to observe their body language, of course. I mean, we all think about that, whether you know it or not. You're reading people's body language, without a doubt. And people are reading your body language all the time. I like this little quote here, but it says, the medium is the message. And so it is with interviewing. Thoroughness and honesty is the message, the passageway to truth. It's thoroughness and honesty that show you revealing patterns, patterns for how the candidate evolved today, for not just a few, but literally dozens of competencies. So, you know, that we talked about that a little bit earlier, but you have to know that we're going to be as thorough as possible, and we're going to just gain so much information about this individual, and know that this interview is going to take a long time. It takes much longer than probably any other interview that you've ever been a part of. Even if you were the interviewee, you know, it takes a long time. You know, here's one quote in here too. It says, managers who say I don't have 3 hours for this type of interview should finish the sentence with, so I will waste hundreds of hours and I'll mishire 3 out of 4 people at a cost of $100,000 or whatever it is for your hire, you know, times 3. So he's, you know, he says times 3. And so, you know, which is in this place, the case, it's a 750 wasted hours. So it is so important that you keep an open mind to this interview process, and that you're willing to spend, you know, 2 to 3 hours in an individual interview. But also remember, and you think, well, wait, I don't have 2 to 3 hours to do an interview. But I want you to think about all the steps you've done up to this point have narrowed this way down to the top, you know, few candidates. And if you don't complete those steps, you know, right, if you're not in depth, and you plan to interview a dozen people or 20 people, well, then yes, this is going to take a very long time. And so that's why those other steps are so important that you get those right. And we interviewed 4 people, okay, and we did, I think, 2 of them one day, or 2 or 3 maybe, you know, and then we had another day of 2 or 3 interviews, whichever way we did it there. But 4 interviews total out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of applicants. So that helped us narrow that way down very fast. And again, I went over in those other shows how we did that, and those questions, the questionnaire, and the way people responded, things like that. But you have to realize that you have to be open to, you know, that kind of in-depth interview. So a few more things here before I jumped into the interview process or questions and whatnot. So again, it goes without saying, but please spend the time to do this. Review the questionnaire, the application, resume, those things. I talked about printing those things out, making notes, and then, you know, just allocating the correct time. Think about allocating the correct time, because obviously if we say it's going to take 2 to 3 hours, you need to think about that how you're spending that time. And I would go through those interview questions in that document that I'm going to tell you about in a minute, and lay out some specific timelines. You may spend, you know, 5 minutes just in the opening, just talking a little bit, building a little rapport. You may spend 5 to 7, 8 minutes, something like that, on education. And then you may spend an hour, you know, or more, just on work history alone. And then maybe 8 or 10 minutes for like plans and goals and self-appraisal, you know, maybe 15 to 20 minutes on some other questions or whatnot you have as well. But you need to think, and that would just be like a 2-hour interview there. So you need to think through and plan out just a little bit. One thing you need to remember is that you're in control of the interview. Okay. So just, you know, have the mindset that you're the professional, and you are in control of this interview. It's often that interviewees will, you know, that obviously you ask them a question, maybe they're nervous as well. So you want to take note of that and be aware of that. But you want to be in control of the interview. You don't want them to spend, you know, 5 to 10 minutes talking about something that has nothing to do with what you asked, or nothing to do, you know, with their character or the question or just anything. So just remember that you are in control of that interview. And it says in this top grading book too, it says a 4-hour interview of a candidate with 15 years of experience is fast paced. And I want to read that, because most of our interviews were 2 to 3 hours, and we did not get through all of our questions. Okay. So I also, especially our first 1 or 2, I didn't expect it to take 4 hours, but we could have easily spent 4 hours if I had gone through every question. And we didn't. We didn't go through every question, obviously, because it, you know, we just couldn't. We couldn't get through it in 2 to 3 hours. I'm very upfront with that candidate ahead of time, and I'm going to go through that. That may be in the next show, because we're almost out of time already, unfortunately. But some of these things are just very important to think about before you begin your tandem interview, or before you begin the interview at all. You need to be thinking about these things. It's so important. But remember, I'm going to do another show, most likely. I won't get to it this time, but the next one will be about the interview and the questions and things like that. So schedule time. Yeah, you want the interviewee to feel comfortable, right? And I'm going to go through that again, but you know, a lot of times they may start asking questions in the middle of the interview, and you want them to know up front that there'll be a time for them to ask questions. And if they have some specific questions, maybe you say, could you just make some notes about that? And we will follow up about that. Or before we get done today, you know, we won't allow you to ask any questions that you want to ask. But we want to move, just for the time's sake, we want to continue through the interview. And, you know, so there's different trains of thought there. You just don't want to get way off path and spend, you know, 15 minutes on something that's not about the interview right now. And you don't know if you're hiring this person, if they have questions about benefits or they have questions about, you know, whatever, you know, it's not the time to talk about that right now. And so a couple other things, note-taking, I talked about this. Some people say, oh, you don't want to be taking notes at certain times. And the book here reminds me about, he talked about it. It's definitely a rapport builder. And I think so too. It's like when they're talking about great things, you want to document those things too. They can tell when you're taking notes, even if you're on the computer. It's not, you know, it's not like you're sitting across from a desk and they can actually see your pen going and you're looking down, you're breaking eye contact, those things. And that's another reason too, why it's a big advantage to have somebody that's interviewing with you, because then somebody else can be taking the lead. Maybe you're taking a bunch of notes and someone else is maintaining that eye contact, or, you know, asking follow-up questions and things like that. And so there's some pros and cons there both ways, no doubt about it. But a big thing about this tandem interview, have somebody that's professional, have somebody that you trust if you don't already have somebody on your team. And if you do, you know, think about other team members that's going to be interacting with this individual, right? Obviously, it'd help if it was somebody that was in management, you know, someone that, you know, is at the maybe top of the food chain with you, you know, in your business or whatnot. But think about who that individual is, right? And they're going to be interacting with this person potentially a lot as well. But if not, find that person, find somebody, you know, in the business that you're in. Hopefully, especially if they have hired someone already that, you know, in their business that's fulfilling this position that you are hiring for, and obviously somebody you trust. They're going to be able to provide tons of insight in thinking through those questions. And so, you know, that was really fast, but I want you to think through and be prepared to conduct a tandem interview. And it's so important. And I had never thought of that before our last interview and before going through top grading, but I do believe that that improved our process greatly. I remember, you know, I created a shared document. I went over this, I think, in another show, and I created a shared document or folder where I uploaded every candidate. I created a folder for every candidate, and then I put all their documents in there, I even printed the email. So I told them a specific place to send all this information, right? At the bottom of that job description, I said, I need you to do these things. Even a couple of them were optional. So I give a way for people to stand out, right? If they want, and, or if they're going to put that much effort in. And so I told them where to send it. I printed that email. So that way, you know, I had that in this folder with every candidate, you know, exactly how they sent this stuff to me. And I uploaded all those documents in there and I shared that with my business partner. And so that way he could also review all those documents, because he and I live in different places. We weren't in the same room. And so we were both on Zoom doing, you know, completing these interviews, but that was very helpful. And he could look through those. He could be more prepared that way. But one thing we did not do, remember, I think I talked about this as well. We didn't talk in depth about the candidates until after the interview. We did talk some about them, but you also don't want to create a bias in your business partner or the other interviewee or interviewer. You know, you don't want to help convince them one way or the other who the best candidate is, because I think a lot of the time it may take you by surprise who the final candidate is and who you have determined is the most qualified for that position. So you want to be careful about that, but you want them to review that information, and they're going to come up with their own questions. They're going to come up with their own things that they want to ask that candidate about. And then just remember, as you're going through the interview, that you do lay out just kind of a plan. Who is doing what during this interview? And that was so helpful for us, right? That was so helpful in thinking through that ahead of time and helping us to be better prepared. Obviously, we want to be extremely professional all the time, but when conducting an interview, also, we want this person to know that we're a professional business, professional company. We want them to want to work for us. Obviously, they do. They've already gone through a lot to get to this step in the process. Much less, and I also mentioned in another show, you know, having them complete those other tasks, right? Don't forget about that step. I called them out of the blue and asked them to complete, you know, these final, it was like a dozen people that made it to that next step. And they completed, I called them in, you know, they went and I may have left a message. I can't remember on the ones that I think I did. Yes. Left a message, but I did not tell them what I wanted. I just asked them to call me back. And so as soon as they called me back, or if I got to speak to them, I said, you know, hello, this is Whitney with LifeBridge Capital. I appreciate you, you know, applying, you know, to work in such and such position with us. I have a few tasks for you. You know, you've made it to the next level and I have a few tasks for you and I need them completed by tomorrow. And I left that open, right? By tomorrow, you know, and so I said, you know, I didn't say by the end of, maybe I did say by the end of the day tomorrow, but I left that open. I didn't say a specific time, just to see how prompt different people would be and how they would respond. Some returned it by that night. Some returned it by the next morning, some, you know, at midnight the next night. And all obviously, they're all in different situations or other jobs and families and have a lot going on. And so you may need to exhibit some grace there. However, you're going to take that on a case-by-case basis and just see how they responded. You know, how organized were those things? You know, how thorough did they complete those tasks? You know, and some things you can think about, you know, what are they going to be doing in this position? And have them do a few of those things or ask them to do some research or ask them to organize certain things or whatever. Or if they're, you know, in marketing, maybe they can create some videos for you, or maybe they can edit certain things or audio or whatever. Make an edit to the website if that is their, you know, their thing, or which if you're asking numerous people to do that, might be difficult. But however, you got to get creative. You have to think of some tasks that they can complete to help you narrow this process down one way or the other. So thanks again. Again, then, you know, next week I will go through the interview guide and go through questions and helping you think through, you know, just that process and just some of the questions that we asked that were very helpful. But thanks again for listening and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Don't go yet. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I would love it if you would go to iTunes right now and leave a rating and written review. I want to hear your feedback. It makes a big difference in getting the podcast out there. You can also go to the Real Estate Syndication Show on Facebook so you can connect with me and we can also receive feedback and your questions there that you want me to answer on the show. Subscribe too so you can get the latest episodes. Lastly, I want to keep you updated. So head over to lifebridgecapital.com and sign up for the newsletter. If you're interested in partnering with me, sign up on the Contact Us page so you can talk to me directly. Have a blessed day, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Syndication Show, brought to you by LifeBridge Capital. LifeBridge Capital works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate, while also donating 50% of its profits to assist parents who are committing to adoption. LifeBridge Capital, making a difference, one investor and one child at a time. Connect online at www.lifebridgecapital.com for free material and videos to further your success.